John 16, I want you to notice verse number 22. Jesus is speaking about him leaving and then coming. He said, "And now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Your joy. That just came up in my heart this afternoon. Your joy no man takes from you. Amen. He's saying this joy that God gives us because of the work of Christ, because of redemption. We just looked at some things about in James 1. You know, we have this joy as a fruit of the Spirit, and it's something that he's given us to be our friend through this life down here, to be a companion, to walk with us. Hallelujah. I know joy doesn't mean you won't go through hard times, but it's your companion right all the way through it. It's something God gave us. He sent in John 14, it says, I won't go there, but John 14, 27, he said, "My peace I leave with you." So he's left his joy with us. He's left his peace with us. The love of God shed abroad in our heart. We know that he loves us. We got so much. The Holy Spirit is in there reminding us of all these things. And we just been left a treasure to live this life with in victory, that we ought to just be, our attention ought to be on that rather than what's going on in our lives. And so he said, if you read this carefully, whenever he said, "I'll come again," here in verse number 22, and he said, "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you." It sounds like there's no joy until the rapture, you know, until he comes back to catch us away. But if you read 1 Peter 1:8 very closely, he says there, "Whom having not seen you love, though now you see him not, yet rejoicing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He's talking about he hadn't come back yet, but we still have him in our lives, and we're experiencing this joy right now. Isn't that good? So, and he's saying here, just like he said in John 14, 27, about "My peace I leave with you, let not your heart be troubled." Remember, John 14, 27. Here he's saying, "I'm leaving my joy with you," and he's saying, no man can take that joy. In other words, don't let anybody take that joy. Don't let anybody. Because the devil and people that listen to him and respond to him, the devil and people will try to take your joy from you. And Jesus is here saying, you don't have to let it happen. You don't have to let it happen. In other words, he's basically saying, don't let anybody take your joy from you. Notice he's addressing you and I here. And in this verse, how many of you know it's not how somebody treats us that determines whether we have joy or not? It's because how somebody treats us takes our joy, it's because we let them take it. You understand? That's what it's saying right there. It's not that they took it in the sense that they were able to against our will, just take it from us, just against our will, but it was that we gave it up, and really we allowed them to take it from us. There's people that, since they're not happy, they want other people to be depressed. But don't let them have your joy just because they're going to be depressed. You don't have to get in depression to get to help people. People want you to get into their depression. But in order to help them out, you have to have the strength to bring them out. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. What they need is what you have. You can't help them by getting in their depression. And I'm not saying condemn them for anything they're going through. I'm just simply saying, don't you feel like, well, because they're sad, I've got to be sad. And some people will try to make you feel like if you really love me, you'll act the way I'm acting. But that's not necessarily their help. You understand? And so he's addressing how others treat us here. I believe, when he said, "No man take, don't let anybody take your joy from you," he's really addressing how other people treat us. He's not addressing our. In other words, let me say it this way: he's addressing our response. He's addressing our response. He's not addressing how they treat us, is what I'm trying to say. You can't control other people and what they do. You can't control how they treat you. Man, the way they treat you is their business. How you respond is your business. Amen. Our response is our choice. It's not what they do that makes us sad. It's how we respond. It was a choice we made that caused us to, take the hurt of how they treated us or whatever. Am I preaching all right? So he's really addressing how we respond, not how they treat us. How many of you ever read the Bible? It's impossible that you go through life without injustices and offenses. They'll come. Jesus said that. You can't go through life without somebody treating you wrong. But you can choose your response. And that's what I want to learn how to do. Anybody want to learn how to do that better? In every situation, I choose my response. So whether we're in joy or not is not determined by them. And they'll try to do things to us sometimes to get us mad, irritated, offended, or out of joy. But like somebody said, they make me mad. Nobody can make you be anything or do anything or have an attitude or anything like that or make you mad. Nobody can make you. That was a choice. Now, maybe they're so used to responding that way that they weren't aware that that was their choice. But that doesn't change the fact that it was their choice. Anybody found yourself doing something, you're like, why did I do that? I could have stayed in peace. I could have stayed in joy. I could have stayed in love. I didn't have to retort. I didn't have to react. And afterwards, you realize they baited me into. How many of you know other people's flesh tends to pull on your flesh? When people treat you wrong, I mean, it doesn't pull the love of God out of you. It starts pulling on your flesh. You've got to choose to walk in love. Same thing with joy, if I could say so. How many of you know it's your joy? No one can take it from you unless you let them. It's yours. Tell your neighbor, it's my joy. Hallelujah. So what we're talking about is taking responsibility to maintain our own joy. Well, I just, I live with people it's just hard to live with them. I'm heavy a lot and so forth and so on. That was a choice. People need to learn something about you. They need to learn you're not going to let them rob you of your joy. Just because they're going to act up, treat you wrong, it's not going to happen, honey. It's just not going to happen. Amen. They may get mad for a while because they're not getting the response they want. But you just proved to them, hey, I'm not going there anymore. Isn't that right? Eventually they'll stop because it's not working anymore. Isn't that right? This is freedom. It's a big day in your life when you realize that you're in control of your responses. It's a big day. Can you say amen? Big day. I mean, it's a day worth having a party, blowing some horns, and lighting candles on a cake, doing something. I mean, let's get together and celebrate because you just got free from the devil sending people along to irritate you so you'll live depressed all your life and pulling you around by the nose, just controlling your actions and your attitude. That's why it's worth a party, because you just got free. If the devil knows he can do that, what will happen is the little imps assigned to you will have a board meeting and they'll say, we found what works. Let's keep doing this, because when we treat them wrong, they get heavy, depressed, lose their joy, they lose their peace, they get all agitated. so we can hold them for the rest of our lives. Let's just keep pushing that button. Just keep pushing that button. And they go, okay, break. Here we go. And they just keep sending people and irritating you. And you need to break the chain around the ring in your nose and say, not going to do it anymore. Not going to do it anymore. You can be mad. You can be angry. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to keep the joy. God has something better for us than to live based on how other people treat us. Amen. This is freedom. God's way out, this is God's way out of the devil leading you around by the nose your whole life. It's your way to victory. It's also your way to peace and soundness and wholeness. It's on the inside, you know. It's the way for you to keep your faith and keep it working. It's a way to keep yourselves right before God. Amen. It's a way to keep your prayers answered. Isn't that right? And enjoy the blessings of God. Enjoy life. Have a good life. A good life's not dependent on you everything being right, or everybody treating you right, or everything going right. Amen. There are offenses that are sure to come. Well, people treat me wrong. Yeah, welcome to the human race. I mean, welcome to life. Isn't that right? But your defense against it is not being mad or retorting or losing your joy. Isn't that right? Your defense is to the antidote against that getting on the inside of you is keeping your joy. Amen. And expressing it. Yes. Regardless of how they want to act. Anyone have anyone in your life that wants to act up, act out? Well, don't let it control your life. Don't let it on the inside. You need a constant and continuous inoculation from their attitude getting on you. And the inoculation is, praise the Lord, ha, ha, ha. But they treated you wrong. Well, praise the Lord. They can't have my joy. Somebody, I don't know if it was Shambach or somebody years ago, maybe you know, preached a sermon, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't have your goods. I mean, that's a good sermon. I said, that's a good sermon. That's a good thought right there. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you rejoice and stay in the joy whenever other people want to get you out of joy, you really inoculate that from getting on, inoculate yourself from that getting on the inside of you. And you see the same thing with the love of God. If other people get in the flesh, that tends to pull you into the flesh. But if you choose, I'm not going there with you. You can get down in the mud by yourself and get all ugly. Get all with your ugly self, but that's you. I'm not going there. Takes two to get out of love, doesn't it? Amen. But when you tend to just not respond to it, it just shuts them down. Same thing with the peace of God. Remember over in John 14:27, we mentioned a couple times, the Amplified says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it. What does that mean? If you're anxious, unsettled, fretful, and all of that, it's because you let yourself be that way. It's a choice. There was a choice. Now, maybe it's something you're so used to that you weren't aware that when you slipped into it, but the first step to getting to ending that response and starting a new response is to recognize that it was my choice. Now, you might not have caught it right away, but start saying, Lord, help me to catch it. And the next time, you might catch it when you go home and then realize it and say, oh, well, look what I did. And then, Lord, help me. And then the next time, it'll be only an hour later. And then the next time, it'll be right in the middle of you breaking. And you start catching it. And eventually, the stuff comes at you. Other people's whatever. comes at you, and eventually you're like, I'm inoculated. I'm just not going there anymore. I've wasted 2/3 of my life living that way. I'm not living that way anymore. Amen. You have to decide you're not going to allow it. People need to know this because they don't realize that it's been their choices put them where they've always ended up. You know, that some reason they find themselves just going spiraling down. What started it? A choice. A choice. A choice. A choice to respond to a thought or something somebody did or, amen. Somebody wrote down in these notes, I don't know who wrote it, you're flunking the grown-up test when you make excuses and blame other people. I'm not sure who wrote that. Did you write that? Somebody write that? Did you write that? Okay, they want me to say it again. You're flunking the grown-up test when you make excuses and blame other people. Those words came up in my spirit this afternoon. And what the Lord's talking about is learning to take responsibility for your actions, and what that is a mark of maturity. Don't you as a parent, if you've raised children, don't you train them? You don't react that way. You train them that they're in control of their responses, their attitudes, their actions. They're in control of their faculties. People that don't get trained that way never grow up. They're just immature. They're immature spiritually. They're also immature emotionally. Well. And by always talking about how other people treat us, we're deflecting people's attention away from our own immaturity and our responsibility to change our actions. Well, people like to do that. Well, and they get all mad. Well, wait. You're deflecting. You're trying to put our attention on them. Right now, you are the one that started acting this way. Don't let them get you like that. Don't let the devil, don't let the work of the devil be so easy. Well, maybe I should have chosen another sermon. I don't know. It's like peace. Jesus said, my peace, and I think it's the Amplified actually says, my peace I bequeath to you. Remember there in John 14:27. My peace I bequeath to you. Well, if he bequeathed it to us, it's ours. Joy's the same thing. He said, I'm going to raise again and give you joy. And he did. It's ours. And while we're blowing off and getting mad and acting, copping an attitude and all that, that joy is right down in there. We didn't hook up to it because we chose to live in the flesh rather than in the spirit. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. A lot of people aren't free yet in their lives in some of these areas is because they've not yet made the choice. I'm going to be free from this. I'm just not going to act that way anymore. Amen. They aren't living joyfully because they're not yet decided to count it all joy. But you don't understand. Oh, yeah, we understand. We've all been there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And people, they want to put it off on you. Well, you acted this way. You did this. So I'm acting this way. That's immaturity. That's acting like I can't control my actions. That's like acting like I'm not responsible for my actions. I know you came for more according to your faith tonight, preaching, because we were on that series. But this is what came up in my heart. Anybody choosing to be free tonight?
Yes.
Count it all joy. Count it means sounds like a choice to me. People aren't living in peace because they're not counting, they're not controlling their thought life. You know, sometimes people, they want to put their attention on how somebody treated them and how wrong somebody treated them and so forth and so on, when actually, and they're using that as an excuse for their actions. Actually, they want to put their attention on how somebody else treated them, but actually, they are very, themselves are very selfish people. because it's all about how they treated me. Why don't you get over me and go find somebody to cheer them up? Well, that's Sheldon. Hallelujah. Some say it's because their attention is on how other people treat them, but the fact is their attention is on their own feelings. These are people that are pointing out, they did me wrong, and so I did this. And they're trying to deflect away from them being a selfish, touchy-touchy, feely person. This is grow you up kind of preaching tonight. You and I don't have to respond to anything anybody does. There have been periods of time where I got tuned into some news story that just, I mean, it was wrong what somebody was doing, and they need to prosecute them, and I get into it, and I'm copping an attitude, and I'm looking for a brick to throw through the TV, and I'm losing my joy and my peace, and I'm talking to other people about how bad it is and all this, and I realize after a while the devil's using this to get me out of what keeps me in the blessing. And so I had to push the little button, click. And if I need to keep updated, because I don't believe we should just be ignorant of what's going on, but if I need to get updated, just I pull it up on the iPad, just look at the headlines real quick, and then just pass it over, rather than get all into it, and, you know, the blood starts coming up to your face, and you're... And then the doctor says, well, why do you have heart problems? I go, I don't know. I'm just... Why do you have high blood pressure? Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I was talking about me. You've never done that, of course, but... Hallelujah. Nobody can make you do anything. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm responsible for my actions. I have a friend that, nobody here, but a friend that talked to me about it. Oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. I wasn't trying to say it that way. That sounds funny. I didn't mean it that way. I'm trying to imply, I don't want you to think of somebody in the congregation when I say this, because I got a lot of friends here, but this particular friend's not in this congregation. He talked to me about an investment that, you know, looked like it was a really good investment, and we talked it over, and I looked it over, and I put some money into it, and the thing went down, man. Wham, boom. It's been down ever since. Not all of them, but that one. And boy, he was concerned. He's like, man, I hope it didn't ruin your friendship. I was talking to him, preaching for him whenever he said this. And we were at the dinner table. I got my finger in his face. I said, my choices are my choices. You have nothing to do with the choice I made. I will not let it affect a divine connection. You are not responsible for me losing that money. I am responsible for losing. And I said, every time the devil tells you, you remember I said that. Amen. And boy, it helped. We got a good friendship today. But see, I had to tell him that because the devil's like, yakety yak yak. And that's the way we need to treat these things. Years ago, I heard of some ministers that fell back in the 80s. And people were, some of the people that had given to that ministry were all mad. And we're going to sue them because we gave them a lot of money. And I thought to myself, don't get mad at them. Get mad at yourself. Because if you'd have listened to the Holy Ghost, he'd have told you, stop. Things aren't right. Yes, sir. But see, people want to sue and blame everybody else, and they didn't make you send that money. Yeah, but they manipulated us. That's your fault. Amen. People in our society are always trying to blame somebody else for everything. You're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. Put on your big boy pants and suck it up. My choice was my choice. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody's still happy. Is that right? Hallelujah. And people, they say, well, you know, it affected my future. I did this. I lost money. I did this and that. Your life, your future, and your level of enjoyment in life and your joy and peace isn't thrust upon you without your consent. In other words, a lack of it. It's not thrust. You cooperated with whatever happened. So just suck it up. Well, what do I do next time? Pray more in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray more in the Holy Ghost. I mean, learn to know His voice better. Amen. Tell your neighbor, that's good preaching whether you know it or not. You and I choose our future every day, whether we're going to act on God's word or act on our feelings. We've got to stop blaming other people for our own responses. They may have treated us wrong, but, you know, our response was our decision. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, they treated me wrong. Well, don't let them have your joy. Here's how you win. You get it? Don't let them have your joy too. Amen. If somebody else is going to act up and act bad, let them act that way. Alone. Let them make a fool of themselves all by themselves. While you walk in the honor and dignity of staying in the Spirit, keeping your joy, not letting them get you into the, you know, or get you out of the love walk. Amen. Not letting them rob your peace. Amen. Good way to keep your mind thinking on these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they treat you wrong, they might have taken something from you. But they can't take your joy. That's a choice. They can't take your peace. That's a choice. Amen? You have to choose whether you're going to let somebody ruin your life. You know, whether you're going to let them ruin a month or a week or a day or even a moment or even an afternoon. They don't have to rob you of any moment of joy. Without a moment, not even a moment, just say, well, bless their heart. Lord, I pray for them. I'm going to go on and stay blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Your destiny is not in somebody else's choices. It's in your choice. Get a hold of yourself, because the devil will ruin your whole life if you let this stuff keep happening and it's you that allowed it to happen. Well, the devil, people want to blame the devil, you know. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, don't give place to the devil. In other words, he can't do anything unless you give him place. Whatever he's doing in our life, let's say he robbed us of joy and peace through something somebody did. Whatever he is doing in our lives, he did it with our consent. He said, don't give place to the devil. In other words, we can choose not to. In other words, he can't take it unless we give it. Well, I didn't mean to. Okay, you might have done it ignorantly without knowledge of the word or something like that. And we all been there. We all have done that. But yet, right on the other hand, it was still consent. Amen. So let's just stop giving him the consent. And if it's a consent of ignorance, let's find out what it is that Satan keeps using to get into our lives to rob us of our joy and our peace. Amen. People blame the devil for their depression, how hard their life is, and it was really their choice. They responded to things he brought to them with the wrong response. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in life, it's not the one that never has anybody treat them wrong or never has anything go wrong or anything like that that succeeds. People say, well, if I could just get some breaks, I could succeed. It's not people that never have any hard things come against them that succeed. It's really, to be honest with you, it's the people who decide to do the right thing whenever those things come. Amen. It's the ones that make the decision to respond right whenever the devil throws those things at them. It's those who decide they're going to practice the word. count it all joy when you fall into that. That's called practicing the word. Whenever you start feeling that, you say, ha, 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 I'm making a different choice right now. And you just switch. Switch from the flesh, switch from the feelings over into your spirit. Amen. Count it all joy rather than be depressed. Stay in peace rather than be anxious. Those are the people, they made a right choice, and those are the people that succeed. They discipline themselves to practice the principles of the word rather than live by their feelings or their emotions or their flesh. It's a discipline. Amen. Success in life is not because of what life does or doesn't throw at you. It's because of a proper relationship with the Word and choosing to walk in the Word, because that's His wisdom. You want to walk in wisdom? Be a doer of the Word. Amen. Be a doer of count it all joy. You'll find out that was the smartest thing I did. Because if I'd have gotten in depression right there, I'd have missed a leading of the Spirit that was coming up the very next afternoon. I'd have been in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. And because I was in the Spirit rather than in the flesh, I got a leading of the Spirit that made me, it changed the whole area of my life. Amen. That is the wisest thing you can do, to practice the Bible. Practice the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So people that want to, get you in the flesh, make you depressed and all that, because they're depressed, they're not happy, just let them do that alone. You say, you're on your own, I love you, but I'm not going there anymore. And you know, people that want you to jump into their whatever they're going through, they're selfish people. They're selfish people. Amen? Hallelujah. You're authorized to bypass all their drama. You get into drama, you get into all the sadness and depression and anger and all that if you want to do that. I'll be back later whenever you're done. I'll be back to cook you dinner. Amen. You might laugh at that. Let me remind you of the story of Smith Wigglesworth. He was in the beginning of the story of he and his wife's conversion to the things of God and so forth, he was backslid whenever she was first pastoring. Polly was her name. She was pastoring and he was still backslid. And he said one night, it's in his writings, he said, well, people wrote books about him, the Bible says I'm the head of the house, so, because she's getting ready to go to the church and preach that night. The Bible says I'm the head of the house, so that means that, so you're going to stay home tonight and take care of the home. You know, backslidden people always carry at least one scripture around in their back pocket just so they can keep the control. But I got news for you. If you backslidden, none of them belong to you. You just got to give all of them up. None of them belong to you. But he had this verse in his pocket. He's backslid, but he got one verse. I'm the head of the house. You're going to do what I say, and you stay home tonight. You're not going to preach. And Polly, the story goes, it's written in the books, he said that, and Polly said, Smith, real sweet Smith, you're my husband, and I honor you as my husband, but Jesus is my Lord. And he called me to preach. And the home, because he's saying, you should take care of the home. The home is in order. Dinner's on the table. The kids are taken care of. The house is clean. The dishes are already washed. And so I am going to church. I am going to service. She said it's sweet and went and preached. Came home to come in and the door's locked. Smith locked the door, locked himself in, locked her out. She had to sleep on the door jamb, the door jamb or the threshold there. She slept there that night, for whatever sleep you can do sitting up on the door jamb. And the next morning, he, I guess, was wondering where she was and walked out. He opened the door to come out, and there she is. If I remember the story right, she fell in whenever he opened the door. And she jumped up chipper full of joy and said, "Well, good morning, Smith. What do you want for breakfast?" And she went in and made him breakfast, and it convicted him so much that he repented and got right with God. If she'd have fallen into that with him, we might not ever have the story of Smith Wigglesworth. It's just take the high road and stuff. Amen. It brings conviction when people, you treat them wrong and they return good to you. It's like, ow, oh man, that makes me look real ugly right there. Amen. Bible says return good for evil. Would that be return joy for people that treat you wrong? Return love? Would that be returning, you know, be at peace with them? Much as lies with you, live peaceably with all men. Well, I think so. Tell your neighbor, I think so. Tell your other neighbor, what thinkest thou? Her joy changed his flow. Yeah, but I live with somebody, they're always stirring up the house. Well, you change it. Don't take the bait. Don't get into it with them. Why? Because you make a choice. Man, I can't do that. Well, that's because your flesh is controlled. You really can, because you have the love of God in your heart. You have the joy of the Lord, your strength. You have the peace that passes all understanding. You can do it, but it's a choice. I said, it's a choice. Well, they're just destroying the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. Polly changed the atmosphere, and it convicted him. Hallelujah. You know, joy trumps people's, treating you wrong. Peace and walking in love and returning good for evil, it trumps all that. Anything that God has given, that's how you fight, by the way. Somebody wants to fight, here's how you fight. You return joy and you return love, like Paula did. She made him breakfast. She could have fallen in there and got up and got her claws out and scratched him and chewed him out and said, you know, whatever she wants. And he'd be backslid and we'd never have his story. But she's decided to fight by returning good for evil. Anything that God has given us, these are the weapons of our warfare. You want to get into a good fight with somebody, whenever they do you right, you do you wrong, you do them right. Amen. You'll win every single time. The reason is because the Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that includes everything he is. He is the love. He is joy. He is peace. And love, joy, and peace, I'm just on those three tonight. Those things are greater than what the devil throws against it to destroy you with. Whenever you use them as a response rather than get into the fleshly response, you've already gotten the upper hand. You've gotten the upper hand. You've got the advantage in this fight. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If someone takes your joy, then they'll get your faith. You let them get your faith. And then your blessings are attached to your faith. Your fellowship with God is attached to your faith. And so you're going to let them have your faith. Therefore, you're going to let them have your blessings. And eventually, you just keep spiraling down. And afterwards, you start realizing, this ain't worth it. Just isn't worth it. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. How many of you know if somebody gets out strychnine and says, okay, we're all going to drink strychnine. Does that mean you drink strychnine because they drink strychnine? What if somebody gets offended? Does that mean you're going to get offended? What if they turn evil towards you? You're going to retort? It's the same thing. Isn't that right? And so learn to do some thinking for yourself. If I could say that, before you jump into what they're into, stand back and say, how's their life working for them? Oh, I think I'll pass. Broke, busted, disgusted, losers. Well, you shouldn't, that's what's going on in their life. So amen. Hallelujah. Don't just follow everything everybody else is doing. Do some thinking for yourself. Hallelujah. If you don't learn to choose right choices, like I said, the devil will see to it that he's sending people along to where he'll just keep you in depression or whatever 90% of your life. He'll just keep pushing that button because it keeps working. So he'll just keep pushing that button. So just decide, I'm going to unhook from that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's not destined you, really, to be hating your life and all depressed just because of the actions of somebody else. You're not destined to that. Yeah, but it's terrible how it's been this way for a long time. Unhook from it. You know what I mean? Unhook. My joy's not in the way they treat me anymore. My joy's not in what's going on in my home. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't make some changes, but I'm saying you don't have to get down in that with them. Amen. Hallelujah. God has something better for you than that kind of life. God hasn't sealed you to living a certain way because of the way somebody else treats you. Hallelujah. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. You make the choice. Hallelujah. Choose your response. The devil might have duped you in the past. Hallelujah. I'm going to hear some unhooking before we go. Anybody want to unhook? Unhook by the way they acted, the way they treated me, the way they, you know, trying to get me sad because they're sad. Now, I'm not saying, because the Bible said, weep with those that weep. I'm talking about people that are just wanting to pull you into something. There are genuine situations. We get down with them, hug them, and love them. You understand? But I'm just talking about people that they aren't happy until you're mad, you know. That's what I'm talking about. So in case you were wondering about that verse, that's a different situation. So we're talking about people that are just trying to pull you into the flesh. Hallelujah.